TSC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Trajan Wealth and Tropical Smoothie Cafe. It is time to talk to Texas Rangers manager Skip Schumacher. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Man, we're doing great. I hope you are also doing great off of a big win. My question is, would you like to talk first about that win, tank tops, or one of us throwing out the first pitch at a Rangers game?
It's always good talking to you all after a win, so let's start with that one.
Okay.
Tank tops.
All right, so let's start with the win. I know we have asked you this before, but once again, can you put into perspective how important Cal Quantrill has been, not only yesterday, but for this season? And then maybe tell us about some big-time defensive plays by Cody Freeman in that first inning.
Yeah, I've known Cal for a long time. We drafted him in San Diego when I was there and saw him kind of come up through the ranks. And then obviously we traded him to Cleveland. And then now here we are again together in Texas, and had a, you know, really tough conversation early on with him in the WBC, and, you know, not really having a chance to, you know, make the rotation or make the team just because of limited time coming back in spring training. And then, you know, so he's been thrusted in a lot of different roles. Triple A starter, come up here, long man, spot start, you know, high leverage in the ninth inning, and then all of a sudden, you know, injury comes up, and then we give him the rotation spot, does really well. Bradford comes back and have to put him back in the rotation, then because of need, here he is again. And all along, all he said, hey, if, you know, whatever you need, all I care about is winning. And that goes a long way in the manager's seat, because those are tough conversations to give a veteran pitcher who, you know, deserved to be in a rotation or deserved to be in more high leverage spots in the bullpen. And credit to him, he's just built up during the regular season, which is so hard in the middle of a year, and has provided a lot of quality innings for us. And we needed that win yesterday big time to start off a good homestand, hopefully, and he provided that.
And then your thoughts on Cody Freeman setting the tone defensively early on.
Yeah, game-changing two plays, really, in the first inning. The one into the dugout and the diving play in the hole. You know, we could be down 1-0 in the first inning, and, you know, it changes the momentum a little bit. And so instead, it's a zero, and we come in and we score first, and we're really good when we score first. So that was an unbelievable play, obviously, in the hole and then in the dugout.
I'm curious, even with a guy like Freeman, too, when you're talking about Cal and the kind of the things that he's had to adapt to this year, obviously, you know, you hear about athletes being, you know, creatures of habit and wanting to know what they're doing and all that. But when you have an adaptable guy like that, how many of those kind of guys do you want on your team? Do you want a whole full team of those guys?
No, I think you'd lose with a lot of Skip Schumachers on the team, right? you need talent, but you also need guys like Cody Freeman that fill in and can play everywhere and provide that spark. And I think Cody Freeman can be an everyday player. There's no doubt about it. We had JJ there, and we've missed JJ for, you know, the last, you know, few weeks. I mean, middle of the order bat, 800 OPS, killing lefties. I mean, JJ was having a great year. And, you know, Cody was going to fill in. Then he had the neck surgery, you know, that, you know, really hindered him. And he's got a big old scar on his neck. I mean, he was out for a little while. And he's come back and provided, you know, a spark for us and takes quality at bats. You saw what he did last year. So it's good to see him back and feeling good at the plate, obviously making some good defensive plays. But, yeah, I think Cody can absolutely be an everyday player just because of, you know, everything he provides defensively and offensively.
You know, you mentioned Josh Young, so obviously I got to ask. I know he started jogging. He's been doing some baseball activities, including ground balls and hitting. Where are y'all at with him, and is there some semblance of, I guess, an updated timeline?
Yeah, the updated timeline is he's still doing his jogging, you know, kind of progression and hopefully ramping up into a sprint here soon, which, as you know, that just takes some time. And he's doing the defensive work. He's doing the swings. All of that feels good. It's the running that hasn't, you know, really progressed like we wanted it to. And so he's doing it now. He'll do it again today. Felt okay. I don't think he's 100% yet. So it's still going to be another week or so. But, you know, I can't give you like this hard timeline of when we'll see him on the field.
Skip, I'd love for you to be able to predict the future and say, yes, Corey Seager will turn the corner, is turning the corner. I know exactly when with a guy like that. But when, you know, you get a couple of hits from him and it looks like things are feeling pretty good. But for him, it's got to be like, this has got to be a frustrating kind of season for him personality wise. How do you kind of navigate working with a guy that's been at that superstar level and getting him to have that belief and faith that he's going to be back to what he typically is?
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head there with as far as the frustration he has by not being able to post every day like he wants to. He knows where we're at in the season. He knows what he provides, and he wants to be out there. It's the reality is, you know, the majority of the season, he couldn't, as much as he wanted to, he couldn't. So you see what he provides. Last night, it was a really good sign of him diving into second base on a double, head first. You haven't seen that, you know, the majority of the year because he couldn't do it. And now you see that first, he's gone first to third. So he's swinging, he's making the plays. And then it's always, you know, how does he feel the next day? And then the day after that, and, you know, so far it's been good. So, you know, hopefully we can get him and ride him the next 30 plus games and not really look back. But it's been frustrating for him. Obviously, you know, I want him in the lineup, of course, mm-hmm. But it doesn't compare to the frustration that he's had, you know, himself, you know, just trying to be out there for his team and his teammates.
You know, talking about that play, Jake Berger said after the game, man, that play fired me up. So not just about Seager, but do you feel like as of late, perhaps the team's been more aggressive on the base paths? And is that going to be a possible way to get out of the funk that y'all have been in?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's just part of the identity, and it's always easy to run the bases more when you have more people on base,
sure.
Right? So I think that is the what's lost in this is we just don't want to run into outs just to say we're trying to advance bases or trying to steal more bases. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, we're stealing bases at an 80% clip, pretty good ratio, success rate, but you know, we just don't want to run into outs, but we got to get guys on base to produce that. And I think the best base running teams do have a lot of guys on base often, so they can take chances and correct itself if it doesn't work out and learn from these moments. But I do feel like lately we have been going first and third more, and you know, doing that part of the game has looked better the last couple games. But also we've had more extra base hits and more opportunity to do that. And I think it's all related.
Now, Skip, I've actually wanted to ask you about this particular player all season. I just never had the right opportunity. I think this kind of fits a little bit. And I know I'm actually about to talk about something we don't talk about, and that is that Cardinals team, Kevin.
Oh, no.
Albert Pujols, you got to watch him and, like, the way he prepped and the way he did his work. And I know, like, when he hit that grand slam against us, it pretty much went through the back of the stadium and deflated an entire stadium. I'm sure that kind of stuff gave you guys energy. Is it always the best player on the team that provides that energy, or is it like the rare moments that they do certain things that just kind of takes everything to another level? And where do you feel like this team gets its best energy from?
Yeah, I don't want to bring up that year either, but you did.
Thank you.
You know, August 23rd of that year, we were out of the wild card 10.5 games, August 23rd. And so there, I actually was pitching in a blowout game, a 13-2 blowout game. I faced Rod Barajas that day, and it didn't look good. And so to your point is, you know, as far as who provides that spark, well, Albert was injured at the time. And so it's other guys that can absolutely provide that spark. Now, seeing Corey Seager, you know, go ahead and dive, you know, into second base and firing up the troops, your best player doing that, obviously that sets the tone a little, you know, and you always love seeing that part of it, and it fired everybody up. But I do think that there's other guys that can do that. Cody Freeman did it yesterday. Zeke Duran has done it all year.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys that do this. Jacob Latz and Berger doing steamrolling, you know, after a big closing situation. So there are guys that can do it. But I just want to reiterate, like, there's no panic in this clubhouse. Like, we know where we're at in the season. We got to go. And, you know, I've been in spots where I've been in much worse situations as a player. So, you know, we know what we need to do. We got to start producing. It's you know, we talk about it, but we got to start producing.
Skip, one of the things Chris Young told us at the season opener, Kevin, I believe it was having a lineup with guys who know their roles and what their roles are. And we've talked about Wyatt Langford the other day. You brought up how he had three walks and how that helped you guys get a win. And I know Wyatt can crush. Like, we know he can crush the ball. But is his role kind of adaptable to you got to be the complete package because getting on base, A, number one, is the most important thing because of that speed?
Yeah, when you're not feeling good, all you want to do is hit your way out of it, right? Like that is the mindset. Like, if I'm in a funk, I'm going to hit my way out of it. I'm not going to see pitches and try to walk and kind of pass the baton. That's very hard to do. That's like a mature way to go about it. When I'm not feeling good, I got to grind my way, figure out some way to get on base for the guy behind me who might be feeling good until I feel good again. Then I'll swing my way out of it. That is not easy. He did that. Now he's starting to feel good again, and you see what happened, right? He walked three times. The next day, hit a home run. He's feeling good right now. Had a couple hits. So yes, it's a very, very exciting player, obviously. But also, you see the signs of maturity as well when you see the guys that go in funks and are taking the base when they don't feel good until they feel good again.
You know, I feel like that answer probably encapsulates your answer to my next question, but you've said this a couple of different times after their last road trip. We know we're better than this road trip. We know we're better than what the record says. With all due respect and factoring in the run differential and everything, I'm really curious as to what makes you say that.
That we're in a good position to win still?
You're better than what your record says and believe that you can play better. Like, I'm just curious about that line of thinking.
Yeah, in my seat, you have to have this crazy belief every single day. I've said it before that we're going to win every day. I mean, that is a non-negotiable from our staff. That's a non-negotiable for me, that when we enter, we out-energy the player, and we're ready to go, and we have to give that clubhouse the belief that we are in this thing to win it, and there's no other way to think about it. So as far as, like, what I believe in, well, Jacob deGrom felt really good after the bullpen session yesterday. We'll see what he looks like. JJ is running. That's a good sign. Robert Garcia is throwing his bullpens. That's a good sign. Jack Leiter's throwing tomorrow in a rehab game at 65 pitches. That's a good sign. So Corey Seager's playing in the lineup, you know, and he's in the lineup hopefully every day now. So you start seeing a lot of these guys getting healthy and getting our full team back, and Danny Jansen now back. You know, then you start seeing, like, okay, you know, if we know where we're at, we still have this belief. There's winners in that clubhouse that know what winning looks like and have been there before. Why not? What is there to, you know, we put ourselves in this position, but the division is the division. So we're in a good spot. You know, let's see if we can make a run at this thing.
Now, I know it'll probably depend on how he is feeling today, but is the ideal plan for DeGrom to make his start tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I don't want to give, like, these I've said trending too often,
right,
lately, so I don't want to, like, give you something that's not true. So when he comes in today, I think we'll have a better idea where we're at.
Now, Jake Berger said after the last loss to the A's that it's something you can't dwell on. Is that how you operate, you personally, or do you sometimes linger on particular losses or slumps, even though you know you probably shouldn't?
I dwell on it, like, that night, because then I get on the computer and watch the game over again and, you know, have my pity party a little bit. And then and then the next day I get ready to roll. So you're just not allowed to sulk in this game the next day. It's just that's just not being a pro, and not exactly what I don't want from our staff. So absolutely, that night you have some sleepless nights, and you might have another drink, water or two, and then,
sure,
then figure out what it looks like the next day. And I think that's all part of this game. It's mental as a player. It's also mental as a coach and a manager. So trying to find, you know, ways to stay positive through funks and to, you know, get ready to go the next day is always the challenge at this level.
And then you just put, like, an extra plate or so on the bench press, and that it helps you feel a little bit better.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
Got to go work that out sometimes, you know? Got to go get that in. So,
all right.
That's right.
So I know y'all are focused on today's game. I did have a question about August 31st, though. That night, our station is going to be doing the first pitch for the game, and I won the drawing to throw out the very first pitch. However, my co-host, one of his lifelong dreams in the existence of the world is to throw out the first pitch at a Rangers game. I should just give him the pitch, right?
I think that here's what you don't want. You don't want to have a cutoff man or relay man from the mound
right
to the plate.
Sure.
So whoever has the ability to throw it from the pitcher's mound to the catcher, whoever's catching it, I think that's who you go with.
Well,
my
co-host Corey, every time we talked about this giveaway, he started doing his pitching motion, and his son wants to practice with him. So it feels like they're like locked in on this thing.
I feel like you give it to him then. I mean, he wants it. You got to give it to him.
Don't shake him down. Just let him have it as a good friend.
Yeah, and you better hope he doesn't one-hop it.
Oh, man.
Does that reflect on me if he beefs it?
No, I'm going to be fine, dude. Trust me on this. I'm going to be just fine. Actually, I might throw a little heat in there just to see.
Oh, okay. Well, as always, we appreciate the time. You guys have been
miles an hour
rocking and rolling on these Tuesdays. Congrats on the win. Best of luck against the Nationals this evening.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you.
There you go. Texas Ranger manager Skip Schumacher right here on 105.3 The Fan.